toward the young people, mainly the high school students, and he suggested Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as a framework for my talk. So the first talk I put together was called Faith in the Flames, and it was dealing with how to deal with trials and how God tests us in our trials, and then Landon gave that talk this morning. So I had to kind of pivot, and I came up with this idea of being fear-proof and fireproof. And it's what I kind of want to do is use this story that we're all pretty familiar with. If you've been in a Bible class any time in your life, you've probably heard the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want to extract some key concepts from that we can utilize in our lives, and specifically for our young people, to be fear-proof and to be fireproof. So to give you background on Daniel 3, Daniel is in Babylon, and he was kind of recruited there by King Nebuchadnezzar, along with these three other guys. Their actual Jewish names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, right? But then part of the How to Be a Babylonian program is you have to change your name. And so they become Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel wins the favor of Nebuchadnezzar when he interprets this dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, and Nebuchadnezzar thinks that's really cool, and so he promotes Daniel, and then Daniel gets a promotion for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well, right? Part of that dream, if you remember, was Nebuchadnezzar seeing the statue, and the statue was made of different materials, and the different materials represented these kingdoms that would eventually be overpowered by the kingdom of God. And you remember what the Babylonian Empire, which part of the statue that was? That was the head, right? It was the golden head. And, even though Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that the kingdom would be crushed, he didn't really seem to get that idea through his head, because we see in chapter 3 that he's built a golden image. And it's kind of unclear whether or not that is an image of himself or an image to his gods, but nevertheless, there is this image built in the start of chapter 3. So he says, whenever the harp sounds and the lyre and the bagpipe and the trigon and the horn, everybody in Babylon has to bow down to it. And he says, if you don't, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace, right? And these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, choose not to. And that's where we're going to pick up in Daniel 3 and verse 13. So let's read that here. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe." By the way, Daniel loves listing things. We're going to run through a lot of lists tonight, so just be ready for that. "And every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up." Fear. Young people uniquely face a lot of fearful situations. And I think a reason why that is because, every decision you make in your life is a decision that is building your life's structure, right? And as a young person, I think you're building your foundation. And the choices you make can be good and can create a solid foundation for your future, or they can be faulty and create a compromised structure that will crumble. So young people uniquely have a fear of making the right decision. And I was in high school not too long ago. We have a lot of people here who are in high school. High school is a place that induces fear. There are so many social pressures. There's so many things that we worry about within that high school environment, in any school environment. These choices are so important, and you know, that's probably why people have that fear, is because the choices they make in high school are going to maybe come back later on. So I think most bad choices we make in our youth are out of fear. Most of the bad choices we make in our youth are out of fear. Maybe we fear not fitting in, and out of that fear, we make the bad choice. If you could put yourself in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's shoes, they probably feared, you would expect them to fear not fitting in, right? I mean, the whole nation is bowing down to this golden image, and they chose not to, but in so doing, they did not fit in. We fear sometimes maybe embarrassment. What will I look like if I don't engage in this activity or go to this place? Will I be embarrassed? We fear disappointment, both self-disappointment for ourselves, but also we fear disappointing others. We fear missing out on all the fun. Interestingly, I don't think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego displayed any of this fear. I see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as fear-proof individuals. They boldly responded to the king and said, "We're not going to do it, regardless of the consequence. We're convicted in this." So how can we be fear-proof? That's what I want to ask. What can we learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be fear-proof? I think the first suggestion I have for being fear-proof is get a crew and stand together. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had each other. There's a trio of these solid guys. And in my own life, that has been maybe the most important shield for me from going the wrong path. It's having a solid network of people. That was critical for me in college, where I had just godly influences and people that I could discuss my thoughts on the Bible with. That was so important. And like, take what you have here at East End and utilize it. Because I don't think you all are aware that what you have here is very special. That you have young people all around you who are interested in godly things, who you can bounce ideas off of, you can come to for help. Use that resource and stand up to your fears together. You have that as a way to be fear-proof. My crew now really is kind of like a two-man crew. It's like me and Mara. And it's the most important choice that you'll ever make in your life, who you marry. And I'm so thankful that I chose Mara, because she helps me conquer my fear. She lets me approach these things boldly without fear. And you have to be careful who you date. You have to be careful who you choose as a mate. And just throwing that out there in terms of this crew and standing together idea. Secondly, I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were fear-proof because they believed God. Now, that's not the same thing as believing in God. They believed God. The difference is, believing in God just says, "I believe he exists. I believe there is a God." And really, Nebuchadnezzar believed in God. If you look at chapter 2, he admits to Daniel that Daniel's God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords. He believed in God. But the difference in believing he exists and believing him is going out on the limb and trusting that he's going to save you. It's a belief in his word, in his trustworthiness. And I think we can be fear-proof when we believe God. Because we'll take comfort in passages like Isaiah 41:10, where it says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand." We can take comfort in passages like this because we believe God. And we believe that he is trustworthy, and he does what he says. So I think our guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were fear-proof because they stood together. And not only did they believe in God, they believed God. And they trusted Him. And we can apply these same concepts to our life when we face the fears of our everyday life. So let's get back into the text in Daniel 3, verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. I find that really funny. Like, what kind of thermometer did they use to figure out, like, what the unit of heat was? It's like, is it hot enough yet? No, we need more birch to go make it more hot. I don't know. Seven times hotter. Let's see. And he orders some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. All right. So it wasn't that they just, they were shoved in there. It's that they were bound up. I'm thinking maybe their hands were tied, maybe their feet were bound, and they were tossed in to that fiery furnace, all right? What happens now? Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the list again, right? The governors and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other god who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, I don't know what kind of fires you're facing in your life, but I know that you are facing some type of fire. Our young people maybe are facing fires in their relationships or in school and the challenges that come with that. I faced a fire known as the ACT when I was in high school, and I bet you all are dealing with standardized tests too. You might have a fire within your sports teams or the clubs that you're in. And maybe you thought, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. Why does this fire happen to me? And I want to double down on this point that Landon made this morning, that trials will be inevitable, and you will not avoid these trials by being a good Christian. I think sometimes the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego story, it's kind of skewed, where we say, like, these guys have such great faith, they were such good people, that they were delivered. I don't think that's the case. I think God didn't deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire. He delivered them in the fire. Right? He could have extinguished the whole thing. He could have knocked out Nebuchadnezzar and these men who bound them up, and they could have been free. But that didn't happen. They were still put in the fire. And that's where God saved. You see, being fireproof is a perspective that we need to have. It's a perspective about the fires of life that we can have, where the fires won't destroy us, the fires will develop us, because trials strengthen faith. Can you imagine the faith that those guys had to have as they came out of that furnace, knowing that they were in a fiery furnace 7 times hotter than usual and didn't even burn? It's a faith-building thing. In 1 Peter 1, 6-7, it's talking about trials here and the strengthening that comes out of a trial. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not only do trials strengthen faith, they also demonstrate faith. Remember what happened after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was praising God and declaring that nobody can say anything against this God. Our trials demonstrate our faith to others, because only when we're put to the test are our true inner core, tenets revealed. Who you really are is shown in the crucible of life, in the trials. And when other people see that, it's a way to demonstrate your faith to them. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 5, verse 7. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How can we be fireproof? How can we face these trials in our life? We don't doubt. We aren't destroyed. We are developed. We're firm. Knowing that these trials are for our good, that the trials will strengthen us, and that these trials will ultimately bring glory to God. So I kind of glaze over this little part of the story where in the fire there is a fourth person. And Nebuchadnezzar says that fourth person is like a son of the gods. A lot of people believe that that is a early manifestation of Jesus. I tend to agree. And, while they had Jesus there in the fire to save them, you have a better opportunity tonight. He won't just be with you in the fires of life. He'll be with you always. He and you, and you and him. Jesus saves. And that's just the truth. So let him in tonight. Let him deal with your fears. Let him deal with your fires. If you need anything, come forward as we stand, as we sing.